I will read verses 1 through 14. This is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The psalm that we sang earlier, I'm going to flip back there and read it to you. Psalm 34 has a lot of, it feels to me very much like the Proverbs do, and there are a number of literary reasons for that. One of them is these contrasts, not just a sign of Proverbs, but one of the things we often find in Scriptures. I want to read one of them to you. It's Psalm 34, 21. Affliction will slay the wicked. This is, of course, said in the context where the wicked are slaying those who are afflicting those, afflicting the afflicted, I guess would be the way to say that. There are in Scripture many of these kinds of things, these contrasts between the way things really are and the way things seem to be. And there are many reasons for this. One is that God likes to humble us. I'll put it that way. He changes events in the world. He makes them unpredictable, is what I mean to say, so that we can't predict them, so that we will be humbled, so that we will trust him and know that we are not gods and goddesses to decide our own fate, but we must always rely on him. There's another reason that things are not always what they seem, and that is because of our sin. In our sin, we often fix our eyes on the things of this world, blind and denying the things that are above, particularly God himself. And so things are not as they seem because we perceive them wrongly. Not because they are presented to us wrongly. A mountain is a mountain, a tree is a tree, and yet we worship these things. This is not God's fault, it is ours, exchanging the glory of God for created things. And there's yet another reason why things are not always as they seem. One is sin and ignorance, another is that God keeps us on our toes on purpose. And yet, a third one is that it's in the veiling of things that God gives us grace. He comes to us with all of his glory and his might, but in a way that we can understand. That's a gracious thing. God comes to us when he comes into the world. He comes fully God. Jesus doesn't leave his divinity up in heaven for a while and then come down and be a man for a while. No, he is fully God, fully divine, and he takes on flesh, but it's veiled. And it's veiled, Paul says in Corinthians, to confound the wise. He comes in weakness, and I'll add, to weak ones, to show the wisdom and the power of God. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, not many of you were honorable, not many of you were wise. We weren't, the Corinthian church and the church in general throughout history has not been a great collection of all the most wonderful people throughout the world. The church has often been a collection of misfits and outcasts and people that are marginalized and on the edges, people that struggle and are poor, people that are burdened and weighed down. In the Gospels, we are reminded frequently that it is the tax collectors and the prostitutes who came to Jesus, when all of the learned leaders and theologians and those who should have known much better failed to even come. This is These are contrasts then. On the one hand, you have the great glory and holiness of God, and on the other hand, here are tax collectors and prostitutes coming into that glory, being welcomed into his presence. But this is the way God has chosen, and it is our very salvation. And we are reminded of this in John chapter 1. Where we are told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is not an idea or a thing, but a person, John tells us. For it was He. He was in the beginning with God. And this person, who is, of course, Jesus, John identifies him as something beyond what is fully expressible. He was with God, and he was God. And he, of course, remains God. Jesus was not, as the Arian heresy said, one of the created beings, one of the higher order created creatures. No, John says, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the creator, the one who said in the beginning, let there be light. He is the one who created the world, and it was through Jesus that this world was made. The Father spoke his word, and it was done. And now, he is speaking a new word through the Word. A word which will bring light into the world. Light that shines in the darkness, and darkness will not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. The light that comes into the world in some ways is so bright. We remember the shining star that the wise men followed, the angels glorious in the sky. And in other ways, so veiled. It was at night. Mary and Joseph among the census. Jesus, for many years, a child, growing in wisdom, knowledge, and stature. And even when he does his works, they often are veiled in various ways. They're done in his ways and in his time, not as everyone thinks will happen. But nevertheless, even though it's not always what we expect, even though it's not always what it seems, Jesus is the true light. And we read this about this in verse 9. He was the true light, and which gives light to everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This great work of God as Jesus comes into the world is described as light. Light which causes us Light is something which causes us to see. It's light which gives knowledge. It's light which gives wisdom. It's light which takes away fear because there's no more darkness. It's light which gives life too, like the sun to the plants. In verse 13, we read that this is the case for us. Because when we believe in him, we are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These contrasts are our great hope. A contrast that, on the one hand, here we stand in some ways looking no different than the day before we became a Christian, and yet entirely different. Having our sins pardoned, knowing the light of God, being born of God, and now having a right to him, or to him and to his inheritance that he gives to us. I want to read to you now more of these contrasts and an expression of these from hymn 303, if you would turn there with me, please. This is different than the one that I had marked in your bulletins. I changed my mind. Hymn 303. This is a hymn marked by these contrasts, marked by, on the one hand, helping us to understand in these biblical terms and the greatness and the glory of God, and yet the way in which he comes to us and to whom he comes. I'd like to read this with you, and then we'll sing it together. All praise to you, eternal Lord, clothed in our human flesh and blood. A manger choosing for your throne, while worlds on worlds are yours alone. The skies did once before you bow, a virgin's arms contain you now. The angels who in you rejoiced now listen for your infant voice. A little child, you are our guest, that weary ones in you may rest. Forlorn and lowly is your birth, that we may rise to heaven from earth. You came to us in darkest night to make us children of the light, to make us in the realms divine as your own angels round you shine. All this for us your love has done. By this to you our love is won. For this we tune our cheerful lays and shout our thanks in ceaseless praise. These are the things that we ought to be considering when we consider what it means that Jesus came into this world and dwelt among us. That the God of God, light of light, very God, a very God who commands the whole host of angels, comes and rests in a mother's arms that we might be saved from our sins.